Time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. And now, doing his best Marlon Brando, it's Eric Meehan.
Don Ricardo. Gary, your consigliere.
I was gonna do Luca Brasi.
Oh.
I was gonna do thank you for inviting me on on your radio station on the day on this day of your daughter's wedding. On this, thank you for inviting me. I don't know. I got nothing. I was all set. I can't do Brando.
Well, you have to stuff the cotton balls in your mouth to be able to do that properly, I think.
You really do. I remember when I found that out. I was like,
never go against the family.
That explains so much. And then I was like, man, that's commitment. I mean, I know he got paid a lot more than I'll ever see in my life, but I don't like going to the dentist. imagine working for a whole day. Like, all right, cut, next.
Now I just want cannoli.
Tremendous.
Cannolis.
It's killing me. First of all, by the way, somebody, I just found out that near my parents down at Kennebunk, somebody listed that there's the best cannoli that they've ever had anywhere in the world, and they've listed places they've been. They might have been lying, but apparently somewhere down there near Kennebunk is some sort of Italian bakery that, specializes in cannoli.
Witness protection. Witness protection.
I am on board. it probably is. That's okay. That's what Maine is for. That is what, you know.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Sopranos brought that into. I think the Sopranos did the witness protection a disservice, because I bet they shipped a lot of people here prior to the mid-2000s.
Right.
They're like, damn it.
Yeah. Soon as Meadow went looking for colleges, people had to hide again.
I'm serious. I'm like, we had a thing. Why couldn't you have sent her to Middlebury?
Right.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, listen, the reason I had Carrie start out with those dulcet strains of The Godfather is we're taking a little break from what we've been talking about, and we're gonna talk a little bit about some grapes again. And the grapes in question are a family, right? They're a family. This is the Pinot family. Which is not Italian at all, by the way. I shouldn't really go there. In fact, it's kind of from everywhere, and we're going to kind of get there. But, of course, you've all had Pinot Noir. I'm sure all of you have had Pinot Blanc. I'm sure a lot of you have had Pinot, maybe some of you have had Pinot Blanc. I'm sure all of you have had Pinot Grigio. And or Pinot Gris, which is exactly the same grape, just with an Italian or a French moniker. There are many other grapes in the Pinot family that we'll talk about, and we're going to sort of talk about why there are, etc. It's sort of my continuing efforts to educate people as to what's in their glass. What are some of these grapes that they come in asking for? And Pinots are definitely that's the one. People will come in, with all due respect, not knowing what they're looking for, right? And they were told, or they know that either they like or their friend likes a Pinot. They really like a good Pinot. And then you're like, okay, Pinot what? And people will get it wrong, and there's no, that's okay. This is why we're doing this. So in essence, the Pinots that you are probably going to experience in the store, and then we'll talk about the rest of it, are the Pinot Noir, right? Which is the black skinned or dark skinned grape. There is the Pinot Grigio, I wouldn't say gray-skinned. It's more sort of an orangey hue that it takes on. And if anybody has had orange wine made out of Pinot Gris or Grigio, that's how it gets that orange hue, is it spends all that time on that skin and takes on that orange hue. Then there's Pinot Blanc, right? So the sort of purely white version of that grape. And just in general, let's kind of step back. So Pinot is French for pine, right? The concept is that the Pinot family has this grape cluster that is very tight, and it kind of looks like a pine cone. So there you go. It's like a, that's just kind of, so that's what it was dubbed, is the Pinot. No one knows what came first. It is one of the most genetically adaptable / mutatable versions of Vitis vinifera, which, again, just to remind you all, is the strain of grape that we like to drink. It is one of the most highly adaptable and mutatable versions of it. So much so, and there's a lot of belief that it actually is one of the closest versions genetically, if that makes sense, to something so mutatable, to some of the original grapes that sort of predate some of these strains like Vitis vinifera. It is extraordinarily fickle as well. It is not necessarily easy to grape. The great winemaker Andre Chelescheff declared, I love this, God made Cabernet Sauvignon, whereas the devil made Pinot Noir. It needs cool climates primarily because of that tight, and this is for all the Pinots, by the way, because of that tight clustering, it is very prone to things like rot and fungus and other powdery mildew. A lot of problems that you very often would be spraying and using chemicals for. So if you want to grow Pinots in a pure fashion, you have to sort of be aware. You have to make sure that they're getting a lot of aeration, a lot of good canopy management, things like that. And as I was sort of saying, it's so mutatable that no one really knows what came first. Pinot Noir can mutate into Pinot Gris, can mutate into Pinot Blanc. Pinot Blanc can mutate into Pinot Noir, can mutate into Pinot Gris, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There are other Pinots, and I'll mention them quickly, and then I'll sort of talk about the one outlier that I think is kind of interesting. There's Pinot Rosé, there's Pinot Violette, there's Pinot Tintoyer, there's Pinot Mouret. These are all found in tiny little pockets, especially in, like, you know, Alsace, Burgundy, other parts of the Alps. The one that I kind of think is interesting, where I sort of got caught up learning about this, is Pinot Meunier. Pinot Meunier is one of the three grapes that is allowed in Champagne, the others being Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. Thought at one time to be the forebear of Pinot Noir, but it's not. And it's, why is it not? Okay, so it's what they call a genetic chimera. It's made of cells that are composed from more than one distinct genotype. So it can be from anything and can mutate into anything, but it couldn't have come, it couldn't have created Pinot Noir. I'm sure I'm explaining that badly. If anybody's a scientist out there, please call in and explain it better than I am, because I'm not doing well. But what's interesting about it is that it distinctly is different, like when you actually look at it on the ground, because it has different shoots, different leaves, etc. But it's a really wonderful grape, and actually we have a couple bottles right in stock right now, made out of straight up Pinot Meunier, and it's delightfully different than Pinot Noir. So anyway, I'm sure I'm out of time, but do, you know, check all these Pinots out. It is highly likely that if you like one, you're not necessarily going to like the other. They're very, very sort of different in the bottle and in, you know, the end game, but they are still some of the most desirable and wonderful wines on earth, no matter which Pinot you get. For more, please come see us at BWC. So next week, I think, will be the last week I will be joining you for a couple weeks, because I will be heading to a place I've dreamed of going forever, which is the Southern Rhone Valley of France. So next week we'll start to talk a little bit about cooking with booze, and then I will let these guys run some greatest hits, and then I'll come.
You're not going to join us live from France?
I could, I suppose. I'd have to check out the, as long as the time difference doesn't preclude it. I don't see why not. We can talk about it.
All right. All right. I'm just kidding. But if we could, that would be very cool. Well, we'll discuss it next week. Yes.
All righty.
Thanks, Eric.
Be well.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company.